The following message is presented by Mooringsport Baptist Church in Mooringsport, Louisiana. For more information, go to the website www.mooringsportbaptistchurch.org. Now the message.
Good morning to you. I hope this day is a great day for you. I hope you're weathering well, staying inside. It's a hard thing for us to do. We're not used to that. You aren't either. But these are different times. They're trying times. I welcome you to the service today. And I want to begin with a question. Why do we call the Friday before Easter Good Friday? That title just doesn't seem very appropriate to me. It's not fitting. For nearly everybody who was there that day, Friday turned out to be an incredibly bad day. For Jesus and the two men who died near him on Roman crosses, it was a bad day. For Judas, who hanged himself when he saw that he had sent an innocent man to his death, it was a bad day. For the disciples who watched the dear Lord Jesus die, it was a bad day. For Pilate, who lost his self-respect by giving in to a mob that demanded he crucify Jesus, it was a bad day. For the soldiers who nailed the Son of God to a cruel cross, it was a bad day. For the crowds who fled in terror when the sky turned black and the earth shook, it was a bad day. As I think about it, for only one man was that Friday really a good Friday. And that man was Barabbas. You may have read about Barabbas. I'm sure you've heard his name. He was a rebel. He was a terrorist. He was a zealot, one of those radical Jewish patriots who would do anything at all, to run the Romans out of his country. More than that, Barabbas was a robber. Now, robber is a much uglier word than thief. We sometimes say Jesus was crucified with some thieves. But no, the word is an uglier word, lestes in the original language. It is a robber. A thief sneaks in and steals what he wants. A robber breaks in and violently takes what he wants. So Barabbas was a robber. In addition to terrorism and robbery, Barabbas had committed murder. And now the Roman authorities had caught up with him, found him guilty, and bound him over to death by crucifixion. Barabbas knew what that meant. Crucifixion was just a way of torturing a man until he died. Soldiers would nail him up to crossbeams of wood and leave him to suffer till he died. Long hours of agony, hands and feet torn by great spikes, joints stretched by the weight of his own body, each nerve a river of fire, burning thirst, all around him a mocking crowd. That was the death he knew waited him. That he would be crucified, Barabbas knew. The only question he had was when. And even that question began to be answered on Thursday before Passover. Soldiers at the prison where he was held prepared three crossbars. Word spread among the prisoners. Barabbas would die the next day on the place of the skull. Two of his friends would die with him, but because he was the greater criminal, Barabbas would hang on the middle cross. His last night was filled with unrest. Even inside the prison, Barabbas could tell something unusual was going on. Confused cries, the tramping of feet penetrated the thick walls. And then the sun rose on the last day of Barabbas' life. Soon footsteps sounded outside his cell, a key ground in the lock, and the door swung open. He was prepared for curses and rough hands, but instead heard words that struck joy in his heart. Barabbas, you're free to go. Another man will hang today on the cross in the middle. As Barabbas walked out the prison door, he met the crowd surging toward Golgotha. Curiosity got the best of him, and covering his face with his garment so no one would recognize him, he followed at a distance to see who would die in his place. It was not until the sound of the hammer stopped and the cross, Barabbas' cross, was raised against the sky that he could see. Over the heads of the howling mob, he stared in astonishment into the face of Jesus. On that Black Friday, Jesus died. In Christian theology, the death of Jesus is called the atonement, because through his death, men and women who been separated from God by sin can become reconciled with God and at one with him. Atonement is literally, if you take the word apart, just look at it, at one moment. Sinners who are at odds with God, sinners who have others with God, can become at one with God again. At one moment. Over the years, scholars developed theories of how the death of Jesus made atonement possible. In school, I spent many hours studying various theories. The ransom theory, the Christus Victor theory, the governmental theory, the moral influence theory, and half a dozen others. But from his place near the foot of Jesus' cross, Barabbas saw four things very clearly. I want to lay these out today, and I call them the Barabbas theory of the atonement. Listen to what Barabbas knew about the death of Jesus. Point one, Barabbas knew he belonged on that cross. There wasn't a doubt in his mind. Barabbas knew he was a terrorist. He knew he was a robber. He knew he was a murderer. He knew those crimes were worthy of death. He knew he deserved to die. He expected to die. Barabbas should have hung on the cross that held Jesus. The Barabbas theory of the atonement then says a person is death guilty. The Bible says, for all have sinned, that's you, me, and everybody else, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The Bible says the wages of sin is death. The Bible says cursed is everyone who does not continue to do everything written in the book of the law. If you were honest today, you would have to admit you've broken God's law. You're an outlaw. You deserve punishment from the God who is holy and just. The gospel song nailed it, did it not? When the songwriter said, I should have been crucified. Now, Jesus is on the cross, but I should have been crucified. I should have suffered and died. I should have hung on the cross in disgrace. But Jesus, God's Son, took my place. No truer words were ever set to music than those words. Every one of you who's listening can sing them truthfully. You should have been crucified. You should have suffered and died. You should have hung on the cross in disgrace. But Jesus, God's Son, took your place. Point one, Barabbas knew he belonged on that cross. Point two, Barabbas knew Jesus of Nazareth was dying in his place. One fact stood out plainly to Barabbas that long ago day. Jesus died on the cross as his substitute. The cross on which Jesus hung, by all rights, belonged to Barabbas. You see, Pilate didn't turn Barabbas free unconditionally. He freed Barabbas because Jesus went to the cross in Barabbas' place. And as you think about it, you'll realize that Barabbas was the first man who could say, with absolute and literal truthfulness, Jesus died for me. Countless people have said those words since, but he was the very first. Jesus took Barabbas' place and died on the very cross intended for the robber. That is substitution. Jesus was not just doing something on Barabbas' behalf. He was a substitute who took the place of Barabbas. Barabbas deserved to die. Jesus didn't. But Jesus died so Barabbas could live and go free. Whoever in coming ages might question the substitutionary nature of Jesus' death, Barabbas never could. So the Barabbas theory of the atonement says Jesus died in the place of guilty sinners. Listen to what the Bible says. All we like sheep have gone astray. Each of us has turned to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. That word laid on doesn't mean just laid on like you'd lay a book on a table. The Lord has made to strike on him. The Lord has made to strike on him the iniquity of us all. And the Apostle Paul added in the New Testament, God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. And Paul again said, he loved me and gave himself for me. He gave himself up to the death of the cross for me. Again, Paul, Christ redeemed us. He set us free from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us in our place. And then Peter wrote, he himself bore our sins in his body on the tree. Christ died for sins once for all, the righteous one for the unrighteous ones, to bring you to God. Point number three, Barabbas knew he had done nothing to earn his freedom. Barabbas was a free man, but he was not free because he had made promises to make up for his crimes. He made no guarantees that he would behave well in the future. He didn't beg Pilate to release him or plead with the priest to help him. Every factor that saved Barabbas and set him free worked entirely outside of himself. Barabbas went free for the sole and simple reason that Jesus went to the cross. Whatever else may have been involved in it, Jesus' death reached Barabbas as an act of pure and free grace. The Barabbas theory of the atonement says there's nothing anybody can do to deserve salvation and have his sins forgiven. The Bible says, now when a man works, his wages are not credited to him as a gift, but as an obligation. When you go to work, you get paid because your employer is obligated to pay you. Then Paul continued, however, to the man who does not work, but However, to the man who does not work, but trusts God, who justifies the wicked, his faith is credited as righteousness. It goes on the book as righteousness. And then Paul said again, for it is by grace you've been saved through faith. And this not from yourselves, it's the gift of God, not of works, so that no one can boast and brag. And once again from Paul, for the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men. Point four, Barabbas knew he could add nothing to what Jesus did. Standing at the foot of the cross, Barabbas knew that it was only because Jesus died that he lived. The only question was whether Barabbas would die or Jesus would die. And once it was determined that Jesus would die on the cross, Barabbas was free. At that very moment, the whole matter was settled once and for all. There's nothing Barabbas could add to what Jesus did. He did all that was necessary to save Barabbas from death and set him free by going to the cross himself. So the Barabbas theory of the atonement says a person must never think he can add to what Jesus has done for him. The Bible says that just before Jesus died, he cried, "Tetelestai," in the original language. "Tetelestai" means it is finished. What was finished? Well, the great work of salvation and redemption was finished. And so the Bible says further, we have been made holy through the sacrifice of the body of Christ once and for all. The Bible says the blood of Jesus, God's Son, purifies us from all sin. Some have a religion of two letters, do. It is what you do added to what Jesus has done that saves you. So Jesus gets you part of the way there, and then your works, whatever it is, being baptized, joining the church, taking communion, doing your best, gets you the rest of the way. That religion is a religion of two letters. The Barabbas theory of the atonement is a religion of four letters, not D-O, do, but D-O-N-E, done. Interesting, isn't it? All that was necessary for salvation here and hereafter, Jesus did on the cross. You can never add anything to it. It was finished on the cross. Now, in conclusion, let me summarize this. What I have called Barabbas' theory of the atonement involved four facts. Fact one, you deserve to die to pay for your sins. We are all capital sinners against God and deserve to be punished for our sins. But fact two, Jesus died in your place. God made him to be sin, not a sinner, but he treated Jesus as sin and heaped the judgment for sin on Jesus on the cross. He took your place. He absorbed the judgment due you on your sins. Fact three, you don't deserve what he did for you and never can. And fact four, you can't add anything to what he has done. It's not Jesus and anything. It is Jesus only. And all you can do is to take the offer of a right relationship with God that Jesus put together at Calvary with the wood and nails of the cross. The great Scottish preacher John McNeill put it this way. My brethren, let me commend to you the Barabbas theory of the atonement. It's a good theory to preach on, to pray on, to sing on, and to die on. Do you know any other theory that will stand the test? I'm 100 years later replying to Mr. McNeill, but I know of no other theory that will stand the test. McNeill was right. The test of time and eternity is satisfied only by the Barabbas theory of the atonement. Let me ask you a personal question. If I could come to your house, stand before you, take you by the hand, look into the eyes, could I ask, have you taken what Jesus crafted together for you on the cross? It's an offer to get right with God. You know you're wrong with God? He put together a plan to put you right with God. And all you can do is to receive it or reject it. My question is, have you received it? If you haven't, will you do it right now? Just bow your head, close your eyes where you are, and thank the Lord God for making a way for you who've been separated from God by your sin, who've been cut off from God, to get back right with Him once again. Dear Lord Jesus, I pray that you would bless this message, bless this truth from God's Word, and I ask that you do it today in such a way that people who need to get right with you will, in fact, receive the atonement. This I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
The preceding message was presented by Mooringsport Baptist Church in Mooringsport, Louisiana. For more information about a relationship with Jesus Christ or about the church, including contact information, please go to our website, www.mooringsportbaptistchurch.org. Thank you for listening, and may God bless you.